Addiction is a disease that impacts all of us. Whether you, your neighbor, friend, or family member is struggling, everyone feels the pain of addiction. Recovery Centers of America wants you to know that addiction treatment works and recovery is possible. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now for help for yourself or a loved one. Recovery Centers of America, Capital Region, and Bracebridge Hall have helped thousands of patients in the D.C., Maryland area start a better, healthier way of life through their evidence-based inpatient and outpatient treatment programs. The caring team of physicians and clinicians at RCA see their patients as so much more than their addiction and are deeply committed to providing expert care with heart. Recovery Centers of America knows that every day in active addiction is a day in isolation, which is why they admit new patients 24/7 year-round. Don't wait. Make the call that can change everything. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now. That's 1-888-RECOVERY.
Hi, I'm John Bearer, the host and lead researcher for Stories of Sacrifice, American POW/MIA podcast, and the U.S. POW/MIA Family Locating. A free forensic genealogy public service I provide to support POW/MIA families trying to get their loved one identified and brought home. First, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your interest in the Stories of Sacrifice podcast. Our goal with the podcast is to tell the world about the sacrifice these brave heroes gave for the freedoms we enjoy every day. They gave our country their last full measure. They give us their tomorrow for our freedom today. Second, we would like to raise public awareness that thousands of these heroes from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Cold War have still not yet been found or returned to the United States, with many still buried as unknowns in our own national cemeteries. Their families still waiting for our government to disinter and identify them. So what can you do to support this important mission? First, if you are a relative of a missing in action service member, you can visit the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency website for more information about providing a family reference DNA sample. If you want more information, you can also contact me at john@uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Even if you're not related to an MIA, you can contact your members of Congress to request they allocate enough funding to support the POW/MIA mission and to change the DPAA policy to a DNA lead process and create additional public partnerships to disinter and process the remains for those that are buried as unknown. You can also help us in our mission by sharing these podcast stories with your friends, family, and consider sharing them on your own social media. We would also appreciate if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also visit www.storiesofsacrifice.org and leave us a review there. You can visit our affiliate links on our website where we will earn a small commission on your purchases at no extra cost to you. If you feel moved to do so, please visit our donation links on our website to help us continue this important mission. Just sharing these stories helps us greatly, and we cannot thank you enough for listening. Sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II American POW/MIAs in the Philippines. This is a production of the U.S. POW/MIA Family Locating. I'm your host and lead researcher, John Bearer. Ninninger Part 5, Hell Hath No Fury, Like a Confused Bureaucrat. The Army had a problem. The public wanted to know where their hero was, and a number of members of Congress wanted to know what the hell was going on. Solving the case of First Lieutenant Ira Cheney was simple for the Army. They got some remains, any remains, and buried them at West Point and put Cheney's name on the headstone. They then buried the records, solved that problem for the next 60 years. But the case of First Lieutenant Alexander Ninninger was much more complicated. As the first man awarded the Medal of Honor in World War II, public interest in this case was high. The government had used his heroism to boost American morale during the war's darkest hour, and now it was coming back to haunt them. They knew better not to screw this one up again. In addition, the families of the four officers who died in the same battle, and presumably would have been buried nearby, were demanding answers of their congressional representatives, and they, in turn, were demanding answers from the Army. If just one of the five officers were identified, there would be some explaining to do. They would have to identify all of them or none of them. The Army's problem then, and to this day, boiled down to one of credibility. To paraphrase Tom Holland, the former director of JPAC, Central Identification Laboratory, they were only as good as their last bad identification. If they admitted to making a mistake, every Gold Star mother in the country would be wondering if they had actually received their son's remains. When the X-1130 remains were recovered from Abaque Municipal Cemetery, they were immediately thought to be those of First Lieutenant Alexander Neninger. But who did the other four sets of unidentified remains in that row belong to? The files of each of those five unknowns include identical statements from Gregorino Cunningham saying, "These five unknown Americans were killed in the town of Abaque, province of Bataan, sometime in January 1942. I know that the deceased soldiers buried in the Abaque Cemetery, Abaque, Bataan, are Americans because I was one of the grave diggers hired by the Americans before the surrender of Bataan." Unknown X-1130 had been immediately tagged as the remains of First Lieutenant Alexander Neninger. In addition, there were four other young Filipino scout officers who died in the same series of engagements that took Neninger's life. First Lieutenant John C. Compton, First Lieutenant Arthur W. Green, First Lieutenant David W. Maynard, and First Lieutenant Kenneth L. Wilson. All five were members of the Philippine Scout units, and all five had died on 11 or 12 January 1942. In the absence of information to the contrary, it was reasonable to think that these five unknowns were the five Americans buried by the local gravedigger, Gregorio Cunninghamian. Soldiers' Row of the Abaque Municipal Cemetery contained the remains of Grave Number 1, Unknown X-3589, Manila Number 2, Date of Death, January 1942. Grave Number 2 was Maganito Coyote, Army Serial Number 10302195, Philippine Scout, Date of Death, 12-1841. Grave 3 was Unknown 1051, Manila Number 2, Date of Death, January of 42. Grave number 4 was Victor F. Rowell, 02296, date of death, December 30th, 1941. Grave number 5 was Cosmo A. Canzero, Army Serial Number 37054718, Philippine Scout, date of death, December 31st, 1941. Grave number 6, William Conway, Army Serial Number 33034047, date of death, December 31st, 1941. Grave 7, Magdalino P. Morales, Army Serial Number 10303868, Philippine Scout, date of death, January 1st, 1942. Grave 8, Unknown X-1052, Manila Number 2, date of death, January 1942. Grave 9 was Unknown X-1130, Manila Number 2, date of death, January of 42. Grave Number 14, Leon Orpel, Army Serial Number 10305917, Philippine Scout, date of death, January of 42. Grave Number 15, Senon Cruz, Army Serial Number 10300723, Philippine Scout, date of death was January 2nd, 1942. Grave Number 16 was Maximo Jimenez, Army Serial Number 6610984, Philippine Scout. Grave 17 was Marcesino Ragaza, Army Serial Number R6614250, Philippine Scout. And Grave 18, Unknown X1063, Manila Number 2, date of death, January 42. Graves 10, 11, 12, and 13 were not occupied. In fact, it was so reasonable to think these five unknowns were related that to identify any one of them would have supported the identification of the others. The problem was the Army's proposed identification of X-1130 as Lieutenant Neninger had been disapproved by Washington because the parents of all these men had been told by Colonel Clark that they had been buried three-fourths of a mile away in the Abaque churchyard. Even after multiple excavations of the Abaque churchyard, no remains were found that could be considered as those of Neninger, Wilson, Green, Compton, or Maynard. None of them had been found in the churchyard. Washington had decreed that they were not in the Abaque Town Cemetery, so where were they? The Army had a real problem because Nininger's receipt of the Medal of Honor, they had to be absolutely sure the identification of his remains. At the same time, they would have to do some more explaining if they identified any of the other four officers, but not Nininger. By 1951, when Captain Vogel investigated the Nininger and Cheney cases, the Army was beginning to realize they had a problem. They knew that Colonel Clark's information was incorrect because even after multiple excavations, no remains had been found in the Abiquet churchyard that could be associated with any of the five officers. Even after looking for 75 years and finding nothing, Washington still insists that the Nininger was buried in the Abiquet churchyard and not in the Abiquet cemetery. Slow learners. As recently as 2019, the government's pros were massaging the evidence to support their theory that Nininger had been buried in the churchyard rather than the cemetery. Desperate to prove that they had been right all along, they sent a team to Abiquet to break open the above-ground tombs based on no more than a rumor that Nininger's remains resided there. The Army couldn't go back and undo what they had worked so hard to screw up as they backed themselves into a corner. The most important factor in identification of the remains is credibility. If they fessed up to what they had done, it would cast doubts on tens of thousands of other identifications they had made. In their weird little bureaucratic minds, it's better to deprive five families of closure that would come with burying their sons than to cast doubt on all the other identifications that they had pronounced the identities of, often with little or no substantiating evidence. The mark of a good bureaucrat is that they are never wrong. Just ask them. Ultimately, the Army solved the problem by telling everyone to get their story straight, or at least in agreement, and the written evidence of their misdeeds was classified as a defense secret and hidden away for a generation. Meanwhile, the Nininger, Cheney, Maynard, Wilson, Compton, and Green families are left with no answers and no closure. Their sons just didn't fall off the face of the earth. Only the Army has the answers and control of the remains, and they're not telling and they're not testing. Over the years, the Army has excavated dozens of graves and broke open above-ground tombs at the Abiquet Church. They have exhumed the grave at the West Point and found the remains to be non-Caucasian in their attempt to prove that Lieutenant Nininger was buried at the Abiquet Churchyard and thereby prove themselves right. The Army claims to be protecting the sanctity of the grave of X-1130, but that argument rings hollow considering the dozens of other graves they have disturbed in their quest to prove themselves to have been right. Now, even in the face of repeated failures to find his remains and the overwhelming evidence that unknown X-1130 is First Lieutenant Nininger, they are unwilling to conduct DNA testing because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Thank you for listening to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II, American POW MIAs in the Philippines. This has been a production of the U.S. POW MIA Family Locating. You can find us on the web at uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and given in the best intention. Overall, the POW MIA accounting community is doing what it can with limited resources. It is our hope additional federal funding will be provided, along with additional partnerships established to disinter and process the remains of our unknowns located in the national cemeteries. You can help by contacting your congressional representatives and asking that they implement a DNA lead policy for those unknown POW MIAs. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Parent Teacher Night. Oh, yes, Miss Garner.
If you have one of those airline credit cards, you're probably not earning double miles on every purchase.
You're right. My card only gets extra miles on some types of purchases.
With the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles everywhere.
Wait, but where can we use them?
You can use Capital One Venture Miles on any travel purchase.
Venture gets an A+.
Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Everybody needs just the right amount of fuel to get going in the morning. For some, a nice McDonald's egg and cheese bagel is just enough to do it. Others might prefer a McDonald's bacon egg and cheese bagel. Or perhaps a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel. And there are those where nothing will do but a hearty McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Four different breakfast bagels to get you going. Tomorrow morning, give your engine a head start at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.